An unmarried son is a liability for any Indian family, but it's worse if he's in another country. There's continued extended family pressures, and he's also shown a remarkable ability to not pick up. Every week, we look at the joys and pitfalls of an arranged marriage with our modern Indian man, Muli, and his sister, Star. Hi, guys. I'm Bobby, and welcome to the Arranged Marriage for the Modern Indian Man podcast. Hi, Muli, and hi, Star. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Bobby. Welcome back.
Hey, Bobby. We missed you. It's so good to have you back.
Yay, I missed you guys too. Yes, I've been listening to the episodes as like a genuine listener and I've really enjoyed it. Like, good job, guys. You've done well without me.
Aww.
All right, so we'll get stuck into it, guys, today. What's been happening? What's the update? Do we have parent updates, match updates? What's been going on?
We actually have some exciting news from our extended family front. Do you want to give us an intro on this, Star, since our mom is so much more candid with you?
Absolutely. Okay, guys, so we have some insane family drama going on. This is some next-level soap opera bullshit that's going on in our extended family. So I think we've mentioned this cousin before, and we said that, you know, she's been on the arranged marriage market for a while. Her parents have been looking for a couple of years now. She's turned down a few guys. And this whole time, my parents thought, oh, maybe there's a guy that she's got a relationship with, and they don't want to talk about it, blah, blah, blah. And after all of these, like, years of looking and searching for some guy to marry her, I suppose, they finally found this guy who seemed super nice, and she was scheduled to be engaged a couple of weeks ago. And dun, dun, dun! Literally, the night before the engagement at, like, midnight, she said that she's not going to get engaged to this guy, and she's calling the whole thing off. And engagements in India aren't like engagements in like Australia or whatever, right, guys? It's like an actual ceremony. You both the families are involved. You invite a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's like a mini wedding.
It's a family event.
That's right.
Yeah, so, pretty much.
So she canceled the engagement last minute and my parents were ready to travel to the city where the engagement was going to be. And a whole bunch of other relatives were traveling to go there. I don't think anybody traveled from outside the country, but a whole bunch of people traveled interstate within India, like from his side of the family, from our side of the family. So everybody was there, ready for it to happen the next day. And the night before, our cousin decided to say, nope, it's not happening. And not only did she say that, she said stuff along the lines of, oh, I need a psychologist.
wait, hang on. How did she do it, though? I can't imagine that she, like, you know, strode up to her parents and was like, guys, I'm not doing this. I will not marry this man. Like, I mean, unless that's how she did
it. Actually, it was a little bit like that, where she just went up to them and said, I'm not doing this. And then she just lay down on her bed and became, like, catatonic.
Listeners, we promise this is not an episode of an Indian soap opera. This is real life. So
yes, it is real life. I promise. This is not a Queen song. This is not Bohemian Rhapsody. This is real life. Yeah. So she did all this, and my mom got a call in the middle of the night from her brother, and he said, "Oh, you know, I know you guys are leaving at like 5 a.m, but the whole thing may be called off. So I'll let you know tomorrow." And when she called back the next morning, my uncle said something very interesting. He said that she's in a relationship, but it's very, like, the Tamil term is, like, rendangata, which means, like, neither here nor there. Like, this relationship is, like, there's something very awkward. So, of course, I started wildly speculating, and I was like, maybe this guy is married. Maybe she's a lesbian. Is that why she wants to see a psychiatrist?
Star, I have to tell you, when Muli was telling me this story, that is immediately where I went to as well.
And I was like, look, just chill, and I'm sure it won't be that bad. But actually, in our parents and maybe our extended family's eyes, the end thing was that bad, because this romance was pretty unconventional. Like, she met this guy in her office, and apparently, he's even been over to see our aunt before, like a couple of years ago. So my aunt and uncle have known about this romance for years. And they've really held their cards close to their chest. Like, they've never said a word to anybody until she canceled the engagement. And maybe she almost felt like she had to go take that step before they'd even start to acknowledge it to the extended family. And they were just like, what's going on? What's wrong? Why is she canceling the engagement?
Yeah,
like, they had to have a solid reason for that. And they had to be like, oh, she's been seeing this guy for ages and we just don't approve. So,
and do you know what the reason was? The reason was that he's not a Brahmin. That was the only reason.
Yeah.
And
I just hate that. I hate that so much.
So much.
Me too. I understand that that's a reason.
It's to the point where when my mom called me up the second time to tell me about this, she was obviously very upset about it. And she said, oh, you know, it turns out he's not a Brahmin. I actually laughed because I was like, oh, I'm kind of like relieved.
Like that was the issue?
Yeah, I was like, what, that's it? Like, I was expecting, you know, because by this time I'd already proposed like lesbian 2.0 hypothesis. Married man, all of these things.
It's actually disappointing that that's what it was.
Yeah, absolutely. I was like, what, that's it? And I'm like laughing and my mom's like, oh yeah, I guess, you know, it's just better they get married now because she's already like wrecked her future by canceling her engagement and blah, blah, blah. So guys, the weird thing out of all of this is that it's brought out like a very ugly side in our mom, which I feel extremely uncomfortable about. But on the positive side, it's brought out a very good side of our dad, which is nice.
So I think our mom has started to have a somewhat unhealthy suspicion of all women who are in the arranged marriage.
Misogyny.
Yeah, she's become like some full-on misogynist.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
She went on like a huge rant to me about like how women these days are all like just lying and manipulative and like cheating and you can't trust any women. And like before you know it, this is going to happen to Muli. Like he's going to meet some woman and she's going to cancel the engagement at last minute because she's going to have a boyfriend and she's just like out to take him for what he's got. And I was like, Mom, chill out. Like, don't you understand that this is like,
this is a societal thing. It's the way society is structured in India that means that these women can't do any of this stuff freely. And they're forced to lie and hide it. You know, it's the fault of this society and how it's structured and how women have no freedom whatsoever.
But the funny thing here, Bobby, is that the example our mom is using is our cousin. But
yeah.
Maybe my cousin didn't go about it entirely the right way, but her partner really did do everything right. Like, he went to see her parents, like, a couple of years ago, talked to them, was like, look, I love your daughter. I want to get married to her. Let's make it happen. And this is, like, my uncle and aunt, like, who put the spanner in the works here. They were the ones who were like, no, no, it's never happening. Our daughter's only going to marry a Brahmin, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So then to turn it around to now to make the uncle and aunt the victim of my cousin is sort of unfair because they kind of like suppressed her seeing this guy or
totally
like having any contact with him or getting engaged with him for like several years now. And
yeah, so the weird thing in all of this is that mom only empathizes with one person in the situation, and you would think that it would be her family or her sister or something, right? But the person she empathizes with most is the jilted fiance of my cousin.
Yeah. And apparently the family was really nice and they were like very forgiving about it. And yeah, like apparently on the day of the engagement, the family came over to talk to my aunt and uncle. And they were like, look, if we'll treat her really well. And they tried talking to my cousin and my cousin said no. And they were sort of understanding about it. And they were like, look, if it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. And that's fine.
That's really good on them.
Yeah, they were like, what are we going to do, force her? You know, they were just like, look, if she doesn't want to do it, that's fine.
They could have been rude, I guess, or abusive. So the fact that they were just kind about it, that was nice enough, you know. They could have been like, oh, my family's down here, like, you've embarrassed us. Like, you know, why didn't you tell us earlier? You knew about this years ago. I mean, I feel like those were all, if they had said all those things, that would have been understandable and valid. But the fact that they didn't. So what's the good side that it's brought out in your dad?
The good side that it's brought out in my dad is that he actually said to my mom, usually he just lets my mom crap on about these dumb things and lets her have it out. But I could just tell from his voice that he was kind of sick of this line of conversation with her. So he was like, hey, look, if you think all the girls are evil, then why are we even bothering with this process? And you can't think like that and you have to have faith in people. And also mom said something which was, oh, like so horrible to me because I'm like, I fucking hate caste. Like I hate people being like, I just hate discrimination. And when people talk about people from like other castes in like a derogatory way, it makes me feel like viscerally like really awful because part of me is thinking, don't you realize that like another person is talking about you like that? And imagine how bad you would feel. Like, you know, if you're like Indian and a Brahmin, and if you're like shitting on other castes, take a moment and think that like, there's probably like some Trump supporter in America and like he's shitting on you the same way. Like, don't ever think that like you should treat people like that or think about them like that. Like, it makes me viscerally really mad. And mom actually said to me, oh, you know, like, I can't believe she's marrying a non-Brahmin. Like, how is he going to fit in with our culture? And I was like, why, mom? What do you think the problem's going to be like? And she's like, oh, how is he going to come to like our like religious like functions and things like that?
The way everyone else comes to it.
Yeah, and I was just like, this is so fucked up. And then she said, oh, and if they come over, like, what am I supposed to do? Like, he's going to be in our house. Like, is it okay for him to come to the kitchen? And dad's like, shut up. Like, what? He was like, you know, if like Star's husband comes over, are you going to be like this? Like, you treat him okay and you're nice to him. So why are you being like horrible to this guy just because he's not a Brahmin? And my dad was like, he was like, no, you can't treat him like that. And if he comes over, then I'm going to be nice to him. And, you know, he's done the right things. He's been good to our cousin. He hasn't dropped the ball. He's tried to do the right thing, talk to her parents. And yeah, he was like really sticking up for him. So I was like, Dad, this is great. And I like that you're telling mom to like stop like thinking this way and to stop being like this weird, bigoted, insane person. And I know she's not like that all the time. But I think the situation plus like Muli's situation has just brought out like a very ugly side in her.
Yeah, I think definitely she's the only reason I can see that she's empathizing that much with the jilted guy. She's just seeing Muli in the situation and she's picturing Muli in the situation. And I guess she's scared, I guess, for you, Muli, that this could happen to you.
Yeah, and I think I don't think that's really that much of a legitimate fear because it's not often that this happens.
Yeah.
No, it's totally not a legitimate fear, but she thinks it's a legitimate fear, and that's the right. Issue.
And I'd hope that before saying yes to anybody, I'd get to know them well enough for them to be honest about this kind of stuff, to be like, oh, look. Like, and I think you kind of get the feeling as well when you start talking to people, whether they're interested or not. Like, I've had some matches where I knew they weren't interested straight off the bat, so I don't know how you can go through the whole process and not pick up on it, but...
Well, I guess evidently it happens, but yeah, you know, it's a rarity. So if a non-Brahmin were to come to a religious ceremony, does that mean they can't participate? Is that what your mum was implying?
Oh, it's a lot worse than that, Bobby. It's almost along the lines of they won't be allowed onto, like, they might be, like, polluting the atmosphere sort of level of thing that we're talking about here. Not even about them participating in the actual ceremony.
So they can't be in the near vicinity?
Yeah.
Possibly, yeah.
So if I were to come to your wedding, Muli, one day, would I not be allowed to be around you because I'm not a Brahmin, I don't have a caste?
Funnily enough, we did talk to, well, I think Star did talk to Mom about this. And she said, look, you invite people from your, like, from work, like, you invite your friends, and they might not be the same caste as you, what about them? And my mom was saying something along the lines of, oh, but they're not family, they're not involved in the family stuff. So maybe it is more along the lines of being involved in the actual ceremony.
No, guys, it's not involved in the actual ceremony. This is the thing, and I think this is a really horrible thing. But it's like if you're family, then you're involved in organizing stuff. You might not be involved in the religious ceremonies themselves, but you're like touching all the things that are going to go and be involved in the wedding. You might touch something that goes. And there's this real like belief that like touch from someone who's not a Brahmin or whatever is going to pollute that thing. And then it's going to be used in a religious thing. And how fucked up is that? Sorry, I'm getting That's really right. worked up, but this makes me like really, really angry.
Yeah.
And to see this like in our family, like, I'm just like, fuck, I just never want to talk to you again if you're going to be like this, you know? Like, if this is really how you feel, like, I don't want this in my life. This is fucked up.
Yeah, this is really, like, shocking to me as well. But, and I guess I've never really had experience with the whole caste thing, as I've mentioned before to you guys, until I kind of, like, met Muli, met more people from India and, like, found out how, I guess, prevalent it actually still is. Because as far as I knew, I learned about it in my history books in school. And it, like, to me, it seemed like, oh, okay, this is an archaic thing. That's how it used to be. And it's not the way it is anymore. And like I mentioned, I never grew up knowing what my caste is, because in the Sindhi culture, that's kind of been washed out, I guess, because, you know, of where we are in the country and, like, I guess, Muslim influence and all of that. So it's been completely washed out, this whole caste thing in our culture. But so I never realized how prevalent it is. But my fiance, his family is Brahmin, I guess. But as far as I'm aware, they've never once asked me. Well, they've definitely never asked me. And they've never asked my partner as well what my caste was. They just were not, they're not interested. They don't care to know. It doesn't matter to them. It just mattered to them if I were a good person, if I were a nice human being. If I, you know, I'm not there to, like, cheat their son out of his money. Not a gold digger. Those were the kinds of things they worried about. And so, I mean, it makes me feel a bit, I'm a bit conflicted about these things, because it's like, okay, yeah, so there are people out there, Brahmins out there, I guess, who just, like, acknowledge it as part of history, but maybe not actively, like, they're not active in their beliefs about it, or I don't even know what they really believe about being Brahmin or not. But clearly the fact that they haven't asked about what my caste is or anything like that, you know, it's clear to me that they don't care. So it gives me hope that there are people like that, but then it also is like, well, like, what's all this other stuff then, you know, about, like, oh, can't touch this, can't touch that. Like, it just seems to me like such a stupid thing that really shouldn't be in around anymore.
It's awful. I think at the end of the day, Bobby, I think that's great that your fiancé's parents aren't like this with you guys. But I think I've just come to realize that people exist on a spectrum.
Yeah.
You know, I think when I was younger, I really felt like things were black and white. But now I think, you know, I think our mom and dad are definitely not as traditional or as orthodox as a lot of Brahmins are in India. But there are things that they're definitely not liberal about either. And I think also what's interesting is that our dad has a lot of weirdly, like, traditional views and very weirdly, like very, like, right-wing nationalist views even. But when the thing is, when he actually meets someone, he's a very empathetic person, and he will overlook, like, your caste and things like that, and he will be welcoming. And our mom will often pay lip service to these things and tell us, like, oh, you know, I don't believe in this or blah, blah, blah. But when, like, you know, when you're up against the wall and you have to make a decision, she will make a decision that's, like, a very shitty decision. So I just think people exist on a spectrum. I don't think anyone is ever, like, black or white. I think people have, like, gradations of how important things are to them or how not important something is to them. And obviously this is, like, bringing out something that we haven't experienced before. And now I'm realizing that actually this is really important to them, to my mom. And finally, it's not that important to my dad. So, you know, I think in a way it's kind of taught me a lot about them. So it's been an interesting experience, I suppose.
Yeah, it's definitely been interesting to hear about this from our parents. And they've also had a couple of other things to say about some of my new matches and my previous matches based on this, mostly mom. But we'll get to that shortly, I guess. Do you have anything else to say about this, Star and Bobby?
No, I guess it's just really interesting. You know, you grow up, you find out more about your parents, and you realize they're, like, you know, flawed human beings like the rest of us.
Yeah, like, exactly. I mean, we're all, like, I'm, like, getting so pissed off at them. But then for all I know, in, like, 20 years time, if I have a kid, my kid's going to be like, my mom is so horrible and I can't believe she did that. So
probably, like, you know, they're going to find something to hate about us, I suppose.
Let's hope that they hate something justified.
Wow, that's bleak, guys. All right.
On that happy note.
Let's talk about matches.
Yay.
Yep. So I had a couple of funny things happen in the match front. So the match that I was complaining about last week, Aishwarya, who I messaged and asked about her hobbies, and she said that, oh, like, she felt like she was at an interview. So I didn't text her, and as always, the Mooli ghosting didn't solve the problem, because her mom talked to my mom and is like, why haven't they spoken yet? What's happening? And my mom was surprisingly truthful to her and said, oh, I think your daughter's not interested because she hasn't been responding properly to his texts and etc. And apparently the girl's mom said that she's just an introvert and she takes time to get to know people, so it's hard for her to start texting straight away. And my mom told me this, and her strange, like, suspicion of girls came out again, Star and Bobby, because she said She said, oh, but I spoke to her on the phone and she didn't seem like an introvert to me. Like,
oh, well, sounds like the suspicion might actually start working out in your favor, Muli.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
So we can talk about how I can play on that in the future. But my parents did come up with a new match also in the old school temple matchmaking service. So they got two matches from them.
Wait, hang on. You're going to have to back up because I'm not aware of this old school matchmaking temple service. What is it? How does it work?
So Bobby, I'll explain it for you. What's happened is that the temple has given our mom and dad a flip book of women.
All right. Okay. It's a flip book.
Yeah, it's a flip book. So they flip through. It's like WWE cards or like cricket cards. You know, when you like trade cards, it's like a book of trading cards. And you go through it, and you're like, who do I want for my son? This one has an MBA, but this one's really fair. Like, and then, like, the parents each pick, like, 3 or 4 matches each. And then they play, like, a card fight against each other.
I can't tell if you're joking now, if this is actually true.
She's definitely joking about the card fight. But there's a flip book. It has cards in it. It's basically an offline version of Shaadi.com.
Okay, so is there a girl version and a boy version of this book?
Yeah, of course there's a girl version and a boy version. Yes.
And how do you get yourself into this book? You just go to the temple?
You go there, you pay them some money, and you give them the necessary details. You're on the book. That's it.
All right,
you give
okay. Them
a photo. So you're probably in a flip book now, Muli.
I don't know. I think that's like a life goal, right? Like, I've always wanted to be on a flip book. I mean, I didn't make it there because of sporting prowess or being really good at jumping off like jumping into cage matches or getting hit with a steel chair or something. But I'm still in a flip book, man.
You need to get your parents to take a picture of this so you can keep it as a life souvenir.
Anyways, so there's a new match besides Aishwarya. There's Meena, who I've been messaging, and she seems quite promising. So she wanted to talk to me pretty soon after we messaged, just over the phone. So I've spoken to her over the phone about 2 to 3 times now over the past week, and I'm probably going to Skype her this weekend. So she's quite friendly. She does work in some IT thing, and she has like some... She said she draws, she does some charity work, so she seems like a well-rounded person. She's quite fun to talk to, and I think it's the most sort of connection I've had, at least over the phone, with any match so far. So that's pretty promising. And she seems relatively liberal in her views. Like, we both made fun of our parents, like, looking at astrology charts and stuff and all the whole thing. So it seems like she might be sort of on the same boat as us, where we have a bit of a... We sort of humor our parents to some extent, but not that much. And the funny thing was, I heard from her, from Meena, the new match, that my parents might be visiting her house whilst I was talking to her on the phone. And then I messaged my parents about it, and I was like, so I heard you might be visiting this girl's house. And they were very, very defensive about it, and it was quite funny. So I think they did feel like I caught them out, and I think they would have come up and told me about it eventually, but I guess I sort of forced the issue. So they were going on a trip, and they happened to be in the same city or the same vicinity as...
Happened, huh?
Yeah. It was very convenient. And I was kind of... I didn't want them to go see her, but it seemed somewhat important to them to see them. And I was like, look, you can see them, but you have to... But it can't be anything official. Like,
probably to, like, assuage your mom's suspicions. She's going to, like, sniff her out. Like, does she have a secret boyfriend?
Yeah, it might have been something like that. I'm not really sure what it was, but it seemed important to them. So I was like, fine, you can do it. And I did encourage Meena to be disrespectful to my parents, but she's too sanskari to do it. So I was pretty sad about that.
Disrespectful how?
I was just like, oh, look, you don't have to say hi to them. Just be like, eh, or something. You know, just don't talk to them.
Dude, that's not disrespectful. That's just being like...
Rude.
That's being like extremely
socially
rude, yeah.
Awkward.
Yeah, exactly.
I gave her permission that she doesn't have to talk to them. I was like, look, you don't have to talk to them. And if they come to speak to you, you can be like, I talked to Muli and he said I don't have to speak to you, so that's fine.
I only deal with your son.
you gave her permission, did you, Muli? Oh, wow.
I gave her permission to not talk to my parents.
Oh, wow. All right, not even
so
married and you're
generous.
Already giving her permission to do things.
On the plus side, he'll probably give her permission to have sex with him and to have babies and to work as well afterwards.
Anyways, she did joke about me Skyping me and putting me on a laptop and putting me on one of the sofas whilst my parents were visiting. And I was like, no, that's definitely not happening. And she did bring it up a couple of times to be like, oh, do you want to Skype whilst your parents are here? And I was like, no, that's...
You should have done it.
Well, how could she have, Star? Mooli didn't give her permission to.
That's true. Well, I thought you could have shown some solidarity and, like, Skyped in.
No, actually, I think I said, you're on your own. That's genuinely what I said to her. I was like, look, you're on your own. Like,
just like the rest of our marriage.
I told her that I thought it was too soon for the parents to be visiting. And I said that I could ask them to not visit because they would probably not come if I insisted on it. And she was like, no, they can come. And like, she was sort of, she seemed like, maybe she was just being polite, but I was like, look, then you're on your own.
That was a test and you failed.
Yep.
Well, she's still talking to me, so that's fine, I think. But I don't see why I had to be there. I genuinely have very little interest in talking to her parents, like, especially at this stage. That's for my parents to talk to her parents. Like, I'm not interested in talking to her parents at all. I don't want to... Like, the awkward questions that she got, I would have gotten as well. So I'm like, look, like, I gave you an out and you didn't take the out. So I'm not going to, like, jump with you into this.
So how are things going now? Pretty good?
Yeah, pretty good. We're going to Skype this weekend. She's pretty open. She's interested in emigrating overseas. So she has been talking to me about that. So she's already kind of interested in living overseas. And
how old is she?
I think she's a couple of years younger than me, so maybe 26 or 25.
And has she lived overseas before or kind of like traveled much and stuff like that?
She's traveled to Australia because I think her sister lives here. And she hasn't lived overseas, but she has lived away from her parents for a couple of years, which I thought was good.
All right, cool.
So yeah, anyways, I'll let you guys know how the Skype goes when we're back. But besides that, I think it's a kind of a pretty positive match so far. Haven't had any fatal flaws. She does like crappy sitcom.
That's just Indian matches. That's just Indian people in general.
That's just what's probably available on Indian TV.
Yeah, there's also a kind of like Friends hangover that's affected a whole generation of Indian palates towards sitcoms.
That's all right. You can show her new shows, Mooli. It's not unfixable.
So Mooli... But you did like her so much that you actually called someone else by her name.
Yes. So I don't know if all of our listeners remember this, but when we started the process with my parents, I had a whole list of conditions. And one of the conditions was that I would still look for a partner by myself independently of the arranged marriage process. So since I'm a busy PhD student, the only way to do it these days is on Tinder. So I had a Tinder match and we talked for a while. She seemed pretty nice and keen. So I met up with her for a drink last week. She was also Indian and her name was it was not similar to Meena's name at all. But I didn't do a good job of like reading her Tinder bio properly and memorizing her name before talking to her, which my flatmate said is something he actually does. So it's something to keep in mind for the future.
Oh my God. That is just poor effort. I don't think listeners, I know Mooli's flatmate and anything he does should not be considered acceptable or to be emulated or anything of the sort.
You're just being mean to him because you know he listens to the podcast. But anyways. Anyways.
Well, he also thinks I'm a feminazi, so he can totally go fuck himself.
We can't alienate our one listener, guys. So anyways, we were on the date. We had a couple of drinks. So I had an excuse at least. Like I had a couple of drinks. And we did talk about the whole arranged marriage thing and how she said she's also on a website. I said I was also on a website. So we had a chat and everything was going well. And then we were talking about how Australians have trouble with our names. And I was like, oh, your name's Meena. I didn't think it would be that hard. Like, they could just be like M or Meenu or something. And then she's like, oh, my name's not Meena. Like, what are you talking about? And then I was like, oh, damn it.
Oh, my God.
So it was pretty bad.
How can you... This is like so amateur. Okay, as someone in her single life who dated multiple guys parallelly, I made it like my life's mission to at least like know who I was fucking talking to. How could you do this? And trust me, Mooli, I've had a much more wide and varied love life than you have at this point. And if I can keep all my guys straight, like you should be able to keep like the two women straight.
Anyways, I didn't keep them straight, so I guess that's why we're here. So I thought that was the end of the date because I was like, geez, that's just a finishing move. And I actually kind of did it twice because I think I said, oh, but your name's Mina, so it's super easy, right? And she sort of ignored it. And then I said it again. And then she was like, look, Mina's not my name. So it was especially bad.
Who the fuck is Mina?
Yeah, she did ask me who Mina was. And I was like, oh, Mina's my match from the arranged marriage thing. And we had a bit of a laugh about it. So actually, it didn't end the date. And I think I might see her again. And the date went okay, I'd say. Like, besides the wrong name. But anyways. So that was my Tinder story and wrong name thing. I think you guys also brought up something interesting when we were talking about this whole Tinder thing by, do I tell my current matches that I'm also on Tinder? And I was firmly in the no camp about not telling them, at least not straight away. But do you guys think that's something important that I should be telling them about it?
I don't think it's something to be like, hi, my name is Mooli. I'm however, like, I do this in life, and also I'm on Tinder. I don't think you need to bring it up in that context, like, you know.
Hello, I'm Mooli. I'm in my late 20s and I Tinder a lot.
Yeah. I don't think it needs to be in your introduction to women, but I reckon you should, like, put it out there, like, you know, while talking about your life in Australia, maybe, like, oh, like, look, you know, I'm also on Tinder. Because Tinder is not exclusive to Australia. I've heard that there are lots of Indians as well on Tinder in India, and they like actively use it. I think I've told you guys the story about how when my fiance, before we met, went to India for his sister's wedding, and he was on Tinder there, and apparently he was like killing it there. So I mean, I reckon it's not something unknown to them, or that they'd be like shock and horror. What, you're on Tinder?
Ye shaadi nahi ho sakti.
Yeah.
I didn't think it would shock them. That wasn't my reason for saying it. I think I just felt like it wouldn't sort of be their business until we were pretty serious. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think it should wait until you're pretty serious. I think it should wait until you start being serious. Like, if you're like, okay, this is going to become serious, you should probably talk about it at that point.
Yeah, definitely. And I think if it's going to be serious, I wouldn't be on Tinder anymore, obviously, as well. Like, if it, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you should say that, you know, I was on Tinder when we met, and I went on a couple of dates or whatever, but, you know, obviously nothing serious happened, and I don't do that anymore, if things get serious.
I think it only needs to be brought up if, yeah, there was kind of a crossover, like if you were talking to someone from the arranged marriage and then also had been simultaneously seeing someone from Tinder, and there was kind of a crossover, and either way, whichever such scenario gets serious, I think, yeah, it's owed to the other person to be like, look, while I was talking to you, there was this other girl I was also seeing, but yeah, now, you know, things are serious with you, so that's been called off, I'm not on it anymore or whatever. But if there's been no crossover, then yeah, I think it'd be a bit weird you bringing it up. I'd be like, okay, cool, why are you telling me you were doing this thing like a few months ago and I didn't even know you?
Yeah, that I agree. It would be weird. I mean, I guess you'll ask about like previous relationships and stuff, just in the context of like, have you had them? But I think it would be weird if you went into details and you were like, actually, I went on a Tinder date like 2 months ago. And then I dated another girl from Tinder 6 months ago for a month and we fucked a lot. Like, I don't think you need to like go into those sorts of details. So to round things off, we actually have some listener feedback today.
Yay, listener feedback.
So I think the email that we have is quite interesting. So obviously this person did not use their real email, which is fine because it's not like we use our real names either. So we got an email from someone named after, I think is a reasonably famous footballer. So they said something that was maybe a little bit sociologically on the mark, but you know, this is something we've been doing throughout this podcast, but maybe we haven't put it quite this way. And I think it's a nice way to sum up what we've been talking about. So we got this email from Rianne Brewster saying, Hi, about this whole arranged marriage business, doesn't it come down to an individualistic versus collectivist mindset? The modern guy slash girl most likely has an individual mindset and values. However, the institution of arranged marriage is designed to perpetuate collectivist values. There's a structural mismatch here, no? Maybe that's why the process is tough. Cheers. I think that's a good point. I think we've addressed a lot of different aspects of this along the way. I mean, we've talked about things like, you know, how families are really important. And even though family is important to us, we don't necessarily like worry about, we have to make sure that everyone in our family is happy or bloody blah. We kind of put our happiness before our family's happiness overall. And I think arranged marriages definitely go against that. What do you guys think?
As much as I appreciate Mr. or Miss Brewster's email, I think what we are trying to discuss is also like ways to potentially bridge that kind of gap between this individualistic and collectivist mindsets. Maybe sort of work with or try to find the middle road, maybe the classic Mooley way to, I don't know. So I think it's, I think we do talk about, we haven't expressed it in such words. So I do appreciate his email for that. But I think what we need to focus on is sort of moving, like bridging that gap or like kind of moving, I don't know, moving past just that mindset and this mindset and trying to find like a in-between way.
No, fuck that. I want my way. I don't want an in-between way.
I know, we know you don't start, but I think when we first started the podcast, I think I was trying to find an in-between way. So it's not just about you.
Yeah, I know. That was a joke, obviously, but thanks for missing that. So we have a Twitter message as well, Mooli, from a listener. Do you want to talk about what that said?
It's a fellow PhD candidate in Germany, and she has a lot in common with Style because she said she's in a relationship with a German guy. So she said she relates to Star a lot in the podcast, and she also gave us some really positive feedback about the podcast, and she said she quotes the podcast to friends. So I guess that's something we expect all our listeners to do, to quote the podcast to friends.
Yes, if you're not quoting us, you're not really a fan. That's the benchmark we're holding all of you to from now on. Yeah, it's been great getting this listener feedback.
Yeah, we always love hearing from listeners, so that's always awesome. So yeah, keep the comments coming. Give us feedback, constructive, positive, negative, whatever. We're all for it.
Come on the podcast, be a guest.
Yeah, exactly. Come on the podcast as a guest. So guys, as we wrap up this episode, I guess we have some news as well. We're going to take a bit of a season break and take a little pause to kind of live life and come back with new stories, new and hopefully exciting stories from Mooli, Star and myself. So I think, guys, what are we saying? We're going to take a 2-month break. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we're going to take a 2-month break. We'll be back in September.
That's right. I think we were aiming for the 12th or the 13th of September for the next episode.
Yeah, so definitely do tune back in September. We love our listeners and we love your comments and feedback. So definitely come back and join us in September.
So listeners, as you know, we actually do this podcast in real time. So all of these things that we're talking about are currently happening in our lives, which means that Mooli is seeing not one, not two, but 3 women.
Whoa.
I know.
I'd like to correct you on that, Star. I'm only seeing one and messaging.
I know. Seeing is a bit of a stretch. No, but I think it is a very interesting point in where things are right now, Mooli, where you're talking to one woman who you're actually really interested in, one that's been a bit weird, and you're like, why are you even talking to me? And your Tinder match, who is kind of like a wild card in all of this, and like, who knows where things could go. But I'm also interested in, like, when we come back in a couple of months, talking a bit about, you know, how did this experience go where you start dating someone on Tinder? And then did that kind of make you want to, like, start dating in a traditional way instead of doing the arranged marriage thing? Or conversely, did it make you think, oh, actually, arranged marriage is much more straightforward and people are honest and, you know, very, very, like, upfront about what they want? So maybe that's right for you. So I think you're going to have a lot of interesting reflections over the next couple of months, Mooli. What do you reckon, Bobby?
Yeah, I definitely agree, Star, and I'm excited to get, I guess, see how it all unfolds and what the outcomes are. I will preface this with saying that I never have high hopes for Muli. So I've no idea what the outcome's going to be. I'm not expecting too much, but I'm definitely interested to see where it goes. And yeah, I'm hoping for you, Muli.
I'd like you to correct that to say you don't have high expectations of me romantically, because I don't want to sound like a chronic underachiever in all aspects of life.
Yes, I'm saying this in reference to your romantic life. Yes, definitely, that's true. But yeah, I think it'll also be a really interesting experience for you, Muli, because I guess this is the first time those two kind of worlds are colliding. And yeah, I think if you just take some time to reflect and be a bit introspective, you might, you know, find out some things about yourself as well.
Yay, introspection. We all know how much I love that.
Yep.
Yes, truly one of your strengths, Muli. And listeners, I think we're also leaving off our family at a very interesting situation where we've had this thing come up with our cousin and her non-arranged love marriage to a person who's not a Brahmin and all these weird family dynamics. So we'll update you in a couple of months about how all of that plays through and whether or not there are any more familial dramas and whether our mum decides that all women are evil once and for all, or if there's some redemption of female kind in her eyes.
Yeah, so guys, even though we're taking a break, we're still going to be active on Twitter and we're still going to be looking at our emails. So as always, we love to hear from you guys. If you have any comments, we'd love to hear them at arrangedmarriagepodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at @AMMIMpodcast. And of course, we'd also like to thank Kevin McLeod for the use of his song Narayana in our theme. Thanks for listening to this season of the podcast and keep an eye out for our return. Thanks, Star, and thanks, Muli.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks, Bobby. We love you.
You got it right.
I try.